Okay, a friend and a good neighbor. So the first blank, in if you're looking at sermon notes, the first blank is good neighbor, a friend and a good neighbor. That's what we've really been called to do, to be a friend and a good neighbor. What do I mean by being a friend and a good neighbor? What do I mean by that? My dad constantly says, son, how do you have so many friends? Well, you know how you have a lot of friends? You be a friend. If you are a friend, you'll have friends. If you're not, you're not. It's that simple. So, Jesus told this parable, never heavy fingeredness here. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And I was teasing, we have someone in our church that he's constantly helping people, and I tease him that he's the Good Samaritan. And I'm just going to talk about it a little bit. Everyone remembers this story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So, as the story goes, there's a guy, and he gets robbed by muggers and people, and he's laying on the side of the road. And so three Jewish leaders just walk around. They, ooh, that looks bad. I'm going to avoid that, you know. Anyone ever on your way to church see someone broken down and you just ignore them and come to church anyway? Nah, that never happened here, would it? So all three do. So Jesus, actually, let me back up a little bit. Someone came to Jesus and said, well, who's my neighbor? Because the great commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so he wanted to justify who his neighbor was. So I'm going to be nice to my very next door neighbor and my next door neighbor on that side, but everyone else, forget. So then in response to that, Jesus tells this parable. And now let me tell him myself here. Every time I grew up in Alliance Church, I've been in Alliance Church 60 years, 9 months, and 8 days. Because in vitro, I heard messages in my mom's Alliance Church back home in Maryland. And every time I heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, I'm telling you, man, I'm not Jewish. I'm the Good Samaritan. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I just stopped. The whole point of the story, the whole point of the parable was to convict folks just like us that we wouldn't stop. Because three religious people ignored and didn't stop and help. And then this rough redneck biker stopped and helped him, took him over. He was on drugs. He had tattoos and he was a biker. And he stopped and helped them, took him to an inn and said, hey, whatever it takes, when I come back through next time, I'll pay for it. The religious people would not stop. They're too busy doing their thing and living life. A biker, now this is modern day interpretation, okay? I could be stretching it, but it's what I believe, that this redneck, roughneck stopped and helped them because Samaritans, to the religious people of the day, Samaritans were considered half-breeds. They were considered unclean. In fact, they wouldn't even shake hands with a Samaritan. Hey, dude.
Hey.
He wouldn't... you guys are brave enough to sit in the front row, but most people aren't. These guys are every week. They're right here. They'll even take the spit that comes out, you know? I remember one little old man came up to me. I was apologizing because when I get excited, it comes out. I can't stop it. He said, preacher, don't ever apologize. That's our holy water when that happens. So the religious folks of the day looked down on these people. And it was that kind of person, the every ordinary day person that was irreligious, stopped and helped this person. And then Jesus said, who was the real neighbor? It was the Samaritan, the irreligious person that stopped and helped them. And so Jesus is telling us, we need to be good neighbors. We need to be a good friend and a good neighbor to all people. The essence, both in the Old and New Testament, is, there I go again, oh my. Love God and be a good friend and neighbor. That's the essence. That's the essence. Love God, be a good friend and a good neighbor. And again, so since that's blue and underlined, that means that's a blank in your slides, just in case. Several weeks ago, someone came up to me and said, hey, you missed a blank. All the blanks are in that in the end of your notes, just in case I skip over one, in case my heavy-handedness does. So, wow. Cool. I don't know what I'm doing now. A friend and good neighbor, I must have hit backwards. What do we mean by good and friend neighbor? That the essence of the Old Testament, love God, be a good friend. Jesus is a role model. Jesus is the ultimate role model for all of this for us. And if we look at Matthew, and now this is the dangerous part, okay? I want to warn you, I want to challenge and warn. The religious leaders of Jesus' day describe Jesus in this way. Could you guys forward that rascal for me? Maybe not. There we go. I'm going to rely on you guys. I'm going to quit using this thing. Here's what the religious people of Jesus' day said of Jesus. He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of sinners. That's us. If Jesus was here today, we would be calling him a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of sinners. Interpretation. Can you forward the slide? Here's the interpretation. First interpretation. Jesus fellowshipped, if you could forward again, the first interpretation, this is mine, there's probably many others. Jesus fellowshipped with people in their homes and on special occasions. See, religious leaders of that day, they kind of isolated themselves. And in my church, when someone prayed to receive Christ, we would say, hey, come on up here, come here. Leave all your friends behind, us four no more, and we would disciple them. And you got to leave all those people behind and come here and come to church and only fellowship people at church. Us four no more. No one in, no one out. We're going to hover and protect you. This fortress mentality, because the world is so evil. Is the world evil? Please, everyone, nod your head. And it's getting worse every day. And so we have this tendency to naturally just hunker down and protect, fortress mentality. But that is not what Jesus did. Jesus went out into the world and fellowship with people in their homes and on special occasions. The religious people didn't do that. Hey, if you were a Samaritan, they would walk around you. If you had a physical ailment, they would walk around you. They wouldn't come up and touch you. You read Jesus, he's constantly, when someone needs healed, he usually touches them first. Wish I had some cleaner, but I don't. He would touch people. He would touch people. He would fellowship with people and would go to their homes. I am not asking you to invite me into your home, okay? That's not what this is about. It's about you have people in your lives that don't know the Lord. Jesus would often go into their homes and spend time with them. Second one, if you could forward the slide for me. Jesus befriended people. Jesus befriended people. Jesus was a good neighbor. Jesus befriended people, especially sinful people. In fact, his harshest words were to people like us that thought that we were so good. He befriended normal people. Next slide, and I could get in trouble. Like a good neighbor? I don't know if I'm allowed to do that or not. You said it, not me. But that's what we need to be like. That's what we need to be like, a good neighbor. A good neighbor. When stuff is going bad and when stuff is going good, we need to be a good neighbor to our neighbors and other people. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to tell them myself. 2 weeks ago, I was in one of the local stores. I was going to get a 2-liter of Coca-Cola. If I'm having a bad day, it's a 2-liter of Coca-Cola. If I'm having a really bad hair day, it's Mountain Dew. Okay, the nectar of the gods, Mountain Dew, okay? But if it's only a bad day, I get a Coke, okay? So I'm going in the store, and I see this young lady, and she has olive complexion like Lynette, my wife. My wife who passed away, there's visitors here. My wife died about 2 years ago. She had olive. I smile at everybody. When I walk in, I'm going to smile at everyone. Well, I smile at her, and the thought crossed my mind, gee, she has pretty complexion like Lynette does. And I went and got my Coke. And then as I was leaving the store, I overheard her say to a friend, there's that pervert that was looking at me. So if you read a headline, pervert pastor's in jail, it isn't true. All I did was smile, I promise. All I did was smile. Oh my goodness. Man, I walk to the register and I'm like, I'll pay cash. Oh. That was 2 weeks ago. This week, I smiled at someone. They actually said, they stopped me and said, thank you so much for smiling and sharing your smile with me. I'm just telling you. Now, you never know. Okay, I'm just telling you, you never know. But I'm going to err on the side of, I want Jesus to fill me with himself and flow through me. And by the way, the religious people of Jesus' day said he was a drunkard and a friend of sinners. I'm telling you, it's risky business. When you're in the business of trying to be salt and light, it's a risky business because other people are going to interpret your smile in who knows how what. I know how she did. Scared me to death. I thought I might be on Me Too or whatever that is. I don't know. I'm like, I'm just, all I did was smile and think, gee, your complexion is like Lynette's. You're pretty. There's the pervert walking out there. Oh, my. Okay, so I'm just saying, you never know. And I'm being transparent to you guys because you might think, oh, it always goes well. For Pastor Jeff, he goes everywhere and every, it's just so easy, it's so this. Hey, if it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to you, okay? Okay? So sanctification means set apart unto God. It means I am not going to live my life and devote myself to what I want to do. I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to turn to God. Next slide. Most of the religious leaders of Jesus' day believed they were more sanctified than Jesus. Ew, I'm not getting near you. They believed that they were more sanctified than... Now, that isn't possible. That is not possible, but they thought in their own mind. Now, the church I grew up in, I'm sure they didn't intend it, but when, hey, if you pray to receive Christ, you got to come over here, us four, no more, no one in, you got to stop associating with all those people from the back, us four, no more, that hunkering down, that was normal back then. But I don't believe it's biblical. Remember, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Everyone's entitled to wrong opinion, beginning with who? Me. But I don't believe. I believe that's what happened. I think they thought they were more sanctified than Jesus, and they walked around like they were. And they looked down on other people. That's not what Jesus did. He was a glutton and a drunkard, what they said of him, and a friend of sinners, which means he made friends with everyone. Man, when he met Levi, the tax collector. Now, tax collectors in America, it's totally different back then. You would not do anything with a tax collector because they would collect taxes and their income came from it. So that they were very... Jesus said, hey, Matthew, how about if I have dinner with you and all your friends? Anyone remember Red Skelton? Remember Red Skelton? He would... That old expression, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Remember him carrying the 15-foot pole in? Well, Jesus would touch ordinary people. He would spend time with ordinary people. Okay? And here's my response to that idea. Next slide. Not. It isn't possible to be more sanctified than Jesus. Now, next slide. I switched this a little bit because it didn't make so much sense. Some modern-day believers think that they are more sanctified than Jesus was because they won't have anything to do with these people that aren't Christians or aren't living like we are. Oh, I'm not gonna associate with you. I'm not gonna associate with you. Even some people, there are different theology and there's, oh, I'm not gonna say, ooh, 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 no, no, no. And my response to that is, next slide, not. Next slide. Jesus instructs us, this is the night in which he was betrayed. His high priestly prayer, in essence, he says, be in the world, but don't be of the world. Be in the world, befriend people. Be in the world, but not of the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. just like he was in the world, getting into the live people's lives and introducing them. He was God incarnate, introducing them to God in him and to have a relationship with the Father. Be in the world, but not of the world. That's what it's supposed to be. Next slide. FYI. Next slide. We believers are not. Now, this is really important. This is really important. This is really important because most of the time we think we're the normal ones. Don't you guys think so? You're normal? Hey, when I went to Texas, I told all those Texicans, you guys talk funny. Well, they straightened me out in short manner. I'm the one with the accent, not them. So we believers are not, next slide, we are not the normal ones. We are not normal. Every time someone that gets to know me a little bit and they say, gee, you're not normal, I take it as a compliment. You're not like any pastor I know. You're kind of weird. Thank you. I appreciate that. What's weird about me? And I'll ask, what is it? Well, gee, you're friendly and you'll talk and you'll even go out to dinner with me or lunch with me. Yeah, because I want to be a friend to them. I want to get into their lives. Because if Jesus is abiding in me, he'll abide in me and then flow through me. And hopefully they see Christ in me, the hope of glory, and are drawn to Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And now we have some passages. Next slide. In 1 Peter, Peter is the guy that really hits this well. 1 Peter 1:1, we're going to just look at these three verses. Next slide. To God's elect, strangers in the world. You are strangers. We are the strangers in the world. Next slide. Again, he says, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Now, why are we strangers? You know, I'm an American citizen, but my primary citizenship is where? I'm just a stranger here. I'm just a stranger. I'm not going to be here my whole life. Man, the bulk of my life is going to be up there. That's where I'm truly a citizen of. The next slide. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers. We're the aliens here. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're an alien and a stranger. I'm an alien visiting this planet, this place, because this is not my home. My home is there. If there's any aliens around, it's us. The world is doing its job. They're sending up a storm. They're doing their job. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest is doing its job, man. They're sending up a storm. I don't think they can think of any more ways to do it, and here they do. Just look at the news. They're the normal ones. We are the aliens and strangers, according to Peter. Next slide. 1 Peter 2:12. And here's the key, the next slide. Live such good lives among. And he says pagans, that's normal for that time, among the normal people, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Does that sound familiar? It's just what Jesus said. Next slide, Matthew 5, 13 and 14. Next slide. You are, this should actually be in red, I didn't do that, and it should be italicized. You're the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. As the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, as Jesus abides in us and flows through us, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. People should be looking at us and seeing Jesus. But if we hide, they're never going to see us. But I can promise you, you might smile at someone and they think you're a pervert. Happened to me. Now, I understand why, because I was thinking, wow, you're pretty, just like my wife was. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm not the one to lead her to the Lord, because she'll never believe that's what I was thinking. She's already passed judgment. So that one is for one of all y'all. Now, if she gets to know me well enough, and I don't think that will ever happen, but if she would, I would be able at some point to say, actually, you know, the first time I saw you, I was thinking, your beautiful complexion reminds me of my precious wife. Your olive complexion reminds me of my precious wife. I don't think she'd ever believe that at this point in time. She's already passed judgment. So, but am I willing to risk it the next day in Walmart? Hey, how you doing? Hi there, how are you? Yeah, I'll slow the line down. I'll try to step out of the way so I don't slow the line down, but I'll slow the line down. If I can be a friend to someone, just smile. You have no idea what just a smile can do. And for young ladies, this morning in the back room, Andrea, we're so glad you're back again. And her granddaughter's there, and I went to her and said, you know, you're as beautiful as your grandmom is. Because I've yet to meet a girl that realizes that they're created beautiful. I've never met them. They always think, if only, this blemish, this, that. That is not true. Every single lady in here is a princess of the King. If you have prayed to receive Jesus Christ, you're a princess of the King, and you're beautiful in his eyes. But Satan has spread so many lies that you don't believe it. You don't believe it. I believe every lady here is beautiful and is a princess of the King. And they need to be you need to be reminded of it. Because all of our culture is telling you that you need whiter teeth or whatever. Amen? You're children of the King. Next slide. And now, 2 Corinthians, just in case you think, boy, that preacher never uses the Bible. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. And if you need extra eyes, put on your four eyes, which means if you're old like me, you need glasses. So, we're just going to walk through this passage. I cheated. I bookmarked it, so I wouldn't be thumbing through. It's like halfway through the New Testament, so it's three quarters of the way through your Bible is where 2 Corinthians is, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and he's talking about our ministry that we have been given. Since then, we know it is to what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. We want to persuade people. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. Now, Corinthians, there were some people saying, the Apostle Paul's a nobody. So Apostle Paul goes through his credentials, and he shares some of his credentials with them. Skip down to verse 16 is kind of what he's talking about. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ from a worldly point of view, we do it no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Everything is new. Now, we know, I read that passage, and for years and years, I really didn't understand. I'm not sure that I fully understand it, but it's my conviction at this point in time that the moment we pray to receive Jesus Christ, what Paul calls the old man is crucified with Christ. It's crucified, and it's no longer the old man that's there in Romans chapter 6. He said the old man was crucified with Christ. So that part of me that was in complete control and was totally resistant to God, when I pray to receive Jesus Christ, when I'm born again, born from above, when I repent and put my trust in Jesus Christ, a whole bunch of wonderful things happen. One of them is I'm born from above. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells me. He comes, the new birth, so that now the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And as the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within me, he puts to death the old man. The old man is crucified then with Jesus Christ. That's why Scripture Paul can say, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ lives in me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. But how many here, every moment this past week, you felt like a new creation in Christ? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I thought. Just like me. Because I'm not wrestling against the old man. I'm wrestling against self and sin now. But the old man is gone. And what Satan wants to trick us is to make us think that we're not born again. He wants us to live a defeated life. But what the Holy Spirit has done, he has crucified the old man. He's gone. And now the new birth has come. The Holy Spirit is living inside of me. And then we try and persuade men. We just talk about it. And Paul goes on to say in this passage, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, which simply means we tell other people what God has done in our lives. Just as we at one time were strangers from God, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could have intimacy with him, God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's our ministry now. Just to tell others what God has done in our lives. Just to tell others what God has done in our lives. So that they can come to know Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, just like we do. Just like we do. Final thoughts on friendship. Number one. Next slide. To have good friends, you got to be a good friend. I have no idea. I didn't ask Molly. I apologize in advance. Molly knows everybody, and she's a friend to everybody, isn't she? Everybody knows Molly. Because Molly is such a good friend that she's got so many friends. Who knows how many they are? Everywhere I go, they know Molly in a very positive way. That's because Molly is such a good friend. If you are a good friend, you'll have friends. You're not such a good friend and you only use people, hey, you're not going to have many. Next slide, law of the jungle. Anyone familiar with the law of jungle? This is the American way, the law of the jungle. Next slide. Do it to them before they do it to you. Dog eat dog. I was raised on John Wayne and Good Clean Violence. Might makes right. All those old Westerns, might makes right. It's wrong. And I love this one. I used to listen to Click and Clack. Anyone know who Click and Clack is? And next slide. Click and Clack. The law firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. That's the American way. That's dog eat dog. That's the law of the jungle. No, no, no. That's the law of our culture and our world, but that's wrong. That is wrong. That is wrong. That is a lie from the pit. Look out for number one. Do it for number one. What's in it for me? That's just wrong. Here's what the Bible teaches. The golden rule. The golden rule is to do to others as you would have them do to you. It's in Matthew. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. But then I believe there's a rule even above that rule. And it's the royal law, the royal rule. Do for others what Jesus would do for them. The one is do to others what I'd like. I'd like a back scratch right now. Now, don't touch me, okay? Do not get up and give me a back scratch. But you know, so I'll give someone a back scratch. Are you with me? But Jesus, what would Jesus do for that person? He would do probably far more than just a back scratch. It's agape love. And next slide, remember what agape love, acting in the other person's best interest with eternity in view, even if it cost me something. See, golden rule is, do to others what you would have them do for yourself. The royal rule that I believe is in Scripture is Jesus' rule, do for that person what Jesus would do for them, which takes it up a whole nother notch. So last fall, when I looked and I saw that my neighbor's yard, some leaves were there, I went the extra mile and did some of his leaves. When there was snow on his driveway and I've got, you know, a walk behind snowblower. Now this has nothing to do with me liking stuff. Not. I did his driveway too. Now that could fall under the golden rule. I'd like someone to do my driveway. But thinking, gee, what would Jesus do for this person? Well, I think he would do their driveway too. Does that make sense? Next slide. So, who has God placed in your life to befriend and be a good neighbor to? Who's God put in your life? I don't think you have to go looking. Now, please, I've already told you, sometimes people are going to take it really negatively. There's that pervert. It may happen. It's pretty rare, though. It's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. Most of thine people respond very positively. And by the way, since that event, I've prayed for that person every day. Lord, please, she has to be hurting. She has to be hurting. So I'm praying for her. I don't even know her name. I don't know who she is. I'm not sure I'd recognize her again. But Lord, that lady that I really upset by just smiling at, please reveal yourself to her however you please. I'm praying for her every day. I'm pretty sure she doesn't know Jesus. I'm pretty sure of that. So I pray for her every day. Didn't you say something about turning the other cheek? And you may think, I only have a couple cheeks. But then he said, how many times in the day? Either 77 or 70 times 7. Either way, that's a whole lot. Amen? So, next slide. Here, I change this. Usually it's quiet time. But actually, I don't want quiet time. I want us to spend some listening time. It was really cool this week. Now, the Lord usually speaks to me primarily through the scriptures and primarily, it's like my conscience speaking. But just this week, someone shared with me that God used a song when we took some silence. It was a song. How cool is that? You know, God spoke through a donkey one time. He does every Sunday here. God spoke through a donkey to Balaam. God wrote on the wall one time. God can reveal himself any way he wants. Any way he wants. He can use a modern song. He can use a hymn. And by the way, you know, most of the hymns, and we don't sing that many of them, but most of the hymns, or at least many of the hymns, were bar tune songs that they put Christian lyrics to so that people knew what they were. So can God even take a secular song and whisper to you? Yes. He can do anything he wants. Are you with me? If he can speak through a donkey week after week, he can use anything. And so rather than just quiet time, and hey, I know moms, we had kids, and you're horrified by silent time because your kid might be making noise. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. If someone falls asleep and snores, gently nudge them. That's all, okay? This is listening time. This is listening time. Just, and I'm, you know, we've been hearing from the Lord, and I believe that he wants to whisper to you. And I'm not putting him in a box. He might whisper to you on your way home. He might whisper to you while you're eating. He might, if you take a nap this afternoon, he may give you a dream. He may do whatever he wants. But I promise you, there are people in your life and in my life that he wants to flow through us, that he wants us to befriend and be a good neighbor to, even though they might not literally be our next door neighbor. Okay? So this is listening time. It's only 13 after, according to that. It's only 13 after. So, and I know that like the cutoff time is 11:30. So we're good to go, right? And at 11:30, you'll be first at the restaurants anyway because everyone else is there. You know, they go at least at 12 o'clock. Are you with me? So let's just take a few moments of listening time and just wait in his presence and see what he might have to say to us. And he can speak through a song. He can use your conscience. He can do anything he wants. And he may not right now. And by the way, if he doesn't speak to you now, don't freak out. Oh, something must be wrong. I didn't hear anything. Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? No. We're just giving opportunity. We're only giving opportunity. He's the one in control. He may speak later today. He may speak tomorrow. He may speak in a week. God's God. We're just giving him opportunity to speak if he so chooses to. Okie doke. It's just giving him opportunity to speak. Are you with me? So this is going to be listening time. For like 5 minutes, it's going to be silent. I'm going to lead in prayer and then have about 5 minutes of silence. And then I'll pray again. And then our worship team's going to come and lead us in a closing number. And let's just wait on him. Okay? Let's be a good friend and a good neighbor, and just see what God does. Just see what he does. It's him flowing through us that does all the work. Sometimes you might be called a pervert. It's very rare, But it's worth it. It's well worth it. Not to be called a pervert, but the positive times, okay? The positive times. You know, I went home terrified. I literally did. Oh, my goodness. What does that person think of me? Oh, my goodness. I'm never going in that store again. That was the enemy. Fear's not of God. Fear's not of God. And if I do that, see that person, and I'm walking right up to him, you know, you remind me of my precious wife who died 2 years ago. If God brings her into my, I'm going to go right up, you know, you remind me of my wife. She's beautiful and you're beautiful too. That's my plan anyway. It's up to God if I ever see her again. But let's just wait on God and see what he might have to say. Who he might have you give this card to. I already lost my card. Who he might have you give this to or might begin to befriend. Okay? So, listening time.